Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and...
I'm Carolyn Nelson.
Say that again, Carolyn.
I'm Carolyn Nelson.
That was my fault, folks. I had the pot turned down there. Yeah, the pot is the little switch. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I turned on the radio about 15 minutes before we went on the air, just so that we could have a countdown, because we have to cue in with the station identification to go on the air. And I heard Tom Valentine tell another lie tonight. And like I said, Tom, you're a liar. You are a liar. And if you're not, sue me. We'll take it all into court, and the whole thing will come spilling out, and the whole world will know what you are, my friend. I'm holding in my hand a publication. I'm going to read you just part of it, ladies and gentlemen. It says here, the members of the Brotherhood, are often referred to as scientist philosophers. The Brotherhoods have spent millennia gathering information from human technology, insights from the Masters, and the truths given by Melchizedek to Masters of the Council of 13 when he meets with them. The Brotherhoods have been passing along pertinent data to their students to help them better understand the current condition of society. Bit by bit, they have striven to uplift man and set the truth before him for his consideration. Nevertheless, man persists in pursuing his old familiar delusions, with the exception of a few individuals who believe man has the potential for far greater things. They believe that man himself will become God. The publication, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm holding is called The Stell Letter. The Stell Letter. The Stell Group is a group that belongs to the secret brotherhoods that worship Lucifer. And we proved that from the words of the man who ran the Stell Group, Richard Kininger. From his own mouth, he said that the object of worship of the Stell Group, which he said was a religion, is Lucifer. Is Lucifer, ladies and gentlemen. Now, not too long ago, refuting me and telling you that I don't know what I'm talking about, Tom Valentine said that he left the Stell Group when he became a Christian in 1968 and has never returned since. Carolyn, I would like for you to read the date on this Stell Letter, please.
The Stell Letter is from August 1973.
August 1973. Would you look down at the bottom of the credits and tell the listening audience who is listed as the managing editor?
The editor is Tom Valentine.
So there you have it, folks. He claimed he became a Christian and left the Stell Group in August of 1968. This is August 1973, and it lists Tom Valentine as the editor. The editor of the Stell Letter. The program that we aired, the interview from the book 55-2000, was conducted, ladies and gentlemen, in 1982. I'll say this again, Mr. Valentine. You are a liar. You're deceiving your listening audience. And I will not stand for the deception of the secret brotherhoods who are keeping you all confused, running around in circles, chasing your own tails to create the chaos in this country, to get you to all pick up guns and rise up so that you can be squashed like a gnat on somebody's arm on a hot summer day. That's what it's all about. We're going to do some more exposing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because you're going to find that this is the, really, the Ken Fawcett Starlene Reader Riddle Hour. Something happening in this country, ladies and gentlemen, that is getting smellier and smellier as the days go by. It really is beginning to stink to high heaven. Remember I told you that there was something really wrong with Waco, Texas, and it goes much deeper and spreads much farther than any of us have even begun to conceive. And we have one so-called investigator who was down there, in on the ground floor, so to speak, came out with one story and then recently has begun to change it and is now touting the government viewpoint. He is citing government reports as the only true facts. He has publicly attacked Linda Thompson and her tape. After you heard him state on this program that there was no doubt whatsoever that what you saw in Waco, the big lie, was flames. Now, I want you to listen to the tape that I'm going to play very, very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. It's the best copy that we can get. It's tape number 6 of the 911 tapes. And there are two law enforcement officers talking on the telephone. One of them is one of the hostage team members discussing events with the people inside the church known as Branch Davidian. Listen very, very carefully because this tape is extremely revealing. And it's going to knock a few people right back on their heels, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want you all to understand that I hate doing things like this. I sincerely hate doing things like this, but they have to be done. A lot of people tried to stop this broadcasting from happening tonight. Ken Fawcett attempted to stop it. We are not going to stop ever with delivering the truth to the American people.
Okay. Has Steve made contact with Jim? He has. Okay, good. All right, let me advise them on this end. Hold on. And he said they have made contact.
Okay, good. I was wrong about FBI. They've got a negotiator coming out of Austin.
I'm fine right now. I've got all these folks over here that are just real supporting me. We're getting it done, so I'll hold on.
If you need to take a break somewhere or something like that, you tell them that you want to, you know, take a break.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can do that for a few minutes.
I'll make
a trip myself.
Okay. I would like to have someone here as a, as backup.
Okay.
If you can make it, you know, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, that'll work.
Okay. But, you know, whatever is convenient, you know, really. But
what I'm looking at right now is to try and keep contact between us at the negotiation side and ATF. Do you have any contact there, another phone line that you can call back over here if I get down there?
Yeah, we, stand by, let me double
check. Close enough to you?
Let me double check.
Okay.
Wayne? Wayne? Okay, will you call? Can you say something? Okay, I'll just double check it. Stand by.
Okay,
stand by.
You've got two phones right now, right?
I've got one in each hand.
Okay,
I've got two.
What I can do is I can take over this phone and
keep
contact with ATF.
Okay.
And then when it comes to the time for me to take over for you, I can do that.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be wonderful.
Let me start working on maybe a faster station to get down and I'll stay on here until we can try to break that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I'm gonna hang on here for a second. I'm going to talk to my partner here, Starlene Riddle, okay?
Starlene
Riddle. I'm going to put her on the phone just while I'm looking to try and get a ride over there.
Okay.
Hang on.
Hey, man. How's it going, Pat?
Everything is wonderful.
Good. Just hang in there. You're doing a great job.
We're hanging. Everything is okay on this end so far.
Okay. Does it sound pretty calm?
It does right now.
Okay.
It does right now. Everything's they've asked for the news media, and they're worried about the choppers. So if we can get those choppers stopped. And also, Starlene, if yes and when those choppers, the medevac starts back in there, please let me know so I can advise them, because this seems to be a real sticky point with them.
Okay. They're still at the hospital, as far as I know, with the two that they took off with.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The voice you heard was Starlene Riddle, also known as Rita Riddle, introduced by the law enforcement officer as her partner. This tape was made, ladies and gentlemen, when she was supposed to have been inside the church known as Branch Davidian, and supposedly she did not come out until March the 21st. It stinks. Everything about Waco, Texas stinks, ladies and gentlemen. And it gets stinkier and stinkier all the time. And the only place that you're ever going to hear about it is right here. Or in our newspapers and our TV stations and our radio stations when we complete our purchase of Gannett Company Incorporated. What's this got to do with Ken Fawcett? Well, folks, I don't know if he started out on their side or if he ended up on the other side. But the fact is, and he claims, that his personal life is none of our business and none of your business. And I say, when he is investigating and telling the public the results of his research into what happened in Waco, Texas, during that 51-day siege, when he is telling us the results of that research and we find out that Rita Riddle is on one of the 911 tapes introduced as a law enforcement partner outside the church Branch Davidian on a day when she was supposed to have been in that church as a member of that church, and that Ken Fawcett is now sleeping with Rita Riddle, then we've got big, big problems. And folks, Ken Fawcett becomes absolutely unbelievable and totally 100% discredited. Phones are open, dear listeners, 602-333-2174, and we want to talk about what you heard tonight. What do you think of this? Where is this going? Do you know something about Waco that we don't know? If you do, we want to hear what it is that you know. It's getting really, really hard to tell the Patriots from the enemy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, William?
Yes.
Jeffrey from New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Yes, I just heard the tape. I didn't know what Fawcett had said, but from what I heard on that tape, this lady was definitely too clear to be heard and was obviously outside. What I suspect, after having heard your program as well as seeing the tape of Linda Thompson, which was shown the very next day at our John Birch Society businessman's luncheon, is that I think there's more to this thing, like you say, than you think. My suspicion is that this Branch Davidian thing was set up for persecution by the government as a test case for them to try out what I think they're going to try to do against us.
You think maybe it could have been something to try to get patriots to take up arms?
It could have been that one, and also I think it could be to scare the patriots and prepare us for what they're going to do to us, especially in the light of what happened in Virginia last Tuesday in the election, where the Christian Coalition lieutenant governor candidate was knifed in the back by the NRA, and where his people were not permitted to send out voters' guides and all kinds of interference, which helped him to lose the election.
We're in big trouble, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I wanted to also discuss one other thing with you. Your mystery tapes, I've been listening to them on the air while you were gone. I do have a disagreement with you in that 200 years ago, George Washington pointed out in a speech in 1798 that the Masonic orders that he was in were being infiltrated by the Illuminati from France, as he based his statements on Robertson's proofs of a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that the original Masonic intent of charity and brotherhood was being usurped and put and destroyed by a new world order. And I wondered if you ever looked into that.
Well, yes, we have. What we've found is that the highest levels of Freemasonry has always been controlled by what's known as, quote, the Illuminati, unquote. You have to remember that George Washington was a master Mason. He was not, he never reached the highest levels in Freemasonry, and thus I don't believe that he really knew what Freemasonry was involved in. But you can see what they ultimately did with George Washington. If you go to the Capitol building and stand at the bottom and look up at the dome, you'll see a vast painting which outlines the apotheosis of George Washington. They elevated him to the position of God.
Yeah, the father of our country, if you will.
No, this is God.
Oh, I see.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. And I would have to say this, that from having looked at the Civil War, I've seen how Jefferson Davis destroyed the South by not letting Beauregard take Washington, D.C., and end the war right away after Manassas. I would have to say that the South was betrayed by these Knights of the Golden Circle that you were talking about, and that Emerson's been talking about in his books.
That's correct.
Well, thank you very much. I'll continue to listen, and I wish I could come to Atlanta, but I can't do it. But I'll have to look into getting that stock if I can get a hold of a stockbroker down here.
Okay, don't look into it. Just do it.
I'll do it.
Okay. Good night. Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174, ladies and gentlemen. And by golly, you know, I'm really thrown by this. It really bothers me. And I hope somebody out there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
My name's Tom from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hi, Tom.
And first of all, I'd like to say, as a fellow Vietnam veteran, thank you for serving and welcome home.
Well, thank you. Welcome home yourself.
Thank you, sir. And I started listening and studying the government in 1974 on the POW issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a friend of mine that knows you real well, and he's out your way. And I'd like to give his name, but I won't do it over the air.
Okay.
Have you been studying and following what's been going on in Washington with the rededication of the War Goddess statue and all that?
Oh, yes. We have videotapes of all of it, the relaying of the cornerstone, the Goddess of Liberty, which was a Roman goddess.
If you follow all them dates 18. There's your 9 and your 10
mm-hmm.
and 18.
Yeah.
And
you'll also notice Waco. They were burned and Kresh was supposedly killed. I have questions now whether he's really dead or not. See, I think he may have been in on all of this, but I don't know, and I'm not saying that he was, so don't go off half-cocked out there. But, you know, they claimed that he said he was Jesus, which he never said. He was 33, and they burned the building during Passover. What do you think of that?
Well, it all adds up, because, you know, this is definitely the work of the devil, so it just, you know, it just proves it. You know, once again, there's more and more truth to what you say as time goes on, and it proves it. And this, one friend of mine, when they were in Washington, they showed me all these snapshots they took of different areas, just at random. And there's a swastika in every one of them. And there's no effort to clean it up.
The symbology is everywhere, isn't it?
And I got a book here. It's called the Economic Political History of Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm studying right now. And hold back another book. It's like a college history book. And everything is right now what's going on in business.
Uh-huh.
And everything.
And it's all Nazi.
Right.
And here's the Stell letter again. This is an article written by Tom Valentine. You know, Hitler believed in Atlantis, and he had people looking for proof of Atlantis and where it was actually located all during the time that he was ruling Germany. This is an article written by Tom Valentine, and the title of it is The Value of History and Legend as Evidence of Atlantis, Part 3, in the Stell letter.
Oh, man, what are we going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do.
We better all wake up, and we better understand that somebody's got us by the you-know-what, and they're leading us around in circles and up short trees and down into deep holes. We've got to really get a handle on this. And I think that the only outlet we have right now is to buy this stock, get this media, start getting the truth that we can find out to the vast public, hopefully we can do this without any bloodshed.
Tom, excuse me, I'd like to cut in and add to what you said. I don't hear mention at all about the barbed wire that they put up on Easter Sunday all around the Branch Davidian Church. And if you remember, that's a Christian holiday. And also, it's time and a half or double time for ATF workers when they do things on that day. And nobody shot out at them on that day either.
Paid out the International Monetary Fund. Our federal judges, but the BATF and the Treasury Department.
Well, we know the Treasury Department is, for sure.
And now we're thinking about making the Justice Department all under one big branch, and then probably all be paid by these people.
Yeah, wouldn't that
right.
be something?
I'm sorry, Mr. Cooper, are you familiar with two authors? One is Des Griffin.
Yes.
And he wrote Descent into Slavery and Fourth Reich of the Rich, which I have read.
Yes.
And also Anthony Sutton.
Yes, we have all their books.
And his book, How the Order Creates Wars and Revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
And right there in the very beginning of it, like the first couple of pages, it gives a list of the original order. And Prescott Sheldon Bush is a member.
Yes.
The Harriman brothers are members.
Yes.
And, you know, there's some other families like that. I think Oppenheimer's or somebody like that. You know, I can't remember. I don't have a book here. But, and Des Griffin, and he tells us a lot about the paintings in the meditating room of the United Nations.
Yeah, we just did a whole show on that.
Yeah, and that's really some really good, interesting reading. And I just, you know, I'll let you go. And that's the first time I've talked to you. I've talked to Tom Valentine before. Like you said, I get my information anywhere I can.
Yeah, well, you should. You should listen to everyone. You should read everything. You should believe no one and nothing until you can prove it in your own research.
Well, you'll be hearing more from me, and if you can take him off the air for a second, I'd like to, you know, give you this guy's name, and you can talk to him because he knows you personally.
Actually, I can't do that.
Okay, so I'll let you know.
Call back.
And I'll let you go, and thanks for your good work.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for calling.
My baby loves loving you, and my baby loves my baby.
Well, folks, in these uncertain times, there's only a couple of things that you can do to make sure that you don't fall victim to what's coming. One is we're going to head it off at the pass by Gannett Company Incorporated, GCI. Do it now. Don't think about it. Just do it. Remember, this is a war. If you're going to be on the battlefield, you better be ready to fight. And what we're fighting with now is buying the stock of Gannett Company Incorporated. You don't need to wait for me to send you a form. Just send me a power of attorney to vote the proxy on your stock and make sure that the power attorney doesn't give me any other powers because I don't want them. All I want to do is vote the stock. You keep your stock certificates, folks. You keep them. You see, if we had owned Gannett Company Incorporated a long time ago, we could have spilled the beans on the Weaver disaster, the Waco massacre, which we're still doing, and a lot of other things. And we could have done it honestly without running people around in circles. We could put people, investigative reporters, on certain subjects like the Federal Reserve to investigate and report on as a regular feature on all of our news media formats. The other one, ladies and gentlemen, is the only thing that has ever protected anyone's assets and financial collapse and difficulty throughout the history of the world, and that's precious metals. Where do you get that? Well, you call our friend Gene Miller at Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. By the way, I got my silver rounds that I bought not too long ago that were offered on this program, and I've already made, just on 20 ounces of silver, I've already made a 15% return on that investment already. Now, you've noticed that Gannett Company Incorporated, the stock didn't go down during this last week when the market plunged almost 90 points over two or three day period. That's because our listeners and our people are keeping pressure on that stock. We're buying it. Gannett Company Incorporated is a solid company. Solid. They just bought some more television stations, folks, so the stock is going to go up. You know the worst thing that can happen to you? You buy the stock, and to try to keep us from buying it, they buy the stock, and the price goes up, and we all make a killing on the stock market when everybody else is losing money on the stock market, because that's what they're going to do, except for us. Now, do this, and remember, our primary concern is not to make a profit, not to make any money. But control. We want control of that company. If everybody makes money in the bargain, then we all do much better than what we set out to do. And make sure that what you have achieved up to this point in your life is protected. Call Gene Miller. Do it now. Do it tonight, folks. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. You've got to protect yourself while you can. When everything starts falling to pieces around you, it's too late. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that you listen to the Hour of the Time. Mention my name, William Cooper. Make it known that you want all the newsletters. Ask to talk to Gene Miller personally. If he's not there, then he'll call you back. Just leave your phone number. He'll call you tomorrow. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. If you're out of the limits of the continental United States of America, you can call 602-953-6000. That's 602-953-6000.
Baby loves loving you, God.
if you're still there, you're on the air.
I am.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
First time caller.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to mention for any of your listeners that are John Birch Society members that we have a member in the John Birch Society that is a Mormon and is attempting to work his way up. I am a John Birch Society member.
Uh-huh.
We have been widely publicizing Linda's tape at every conceivable meeting that we can get a bunch of people to. But everybody needs to know that we have a Mormon in our midst by the name of Vance. That's his last name. And he's attempting to work his way up in the John Birch Society. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't allow him to get into any kind of power, any kind of a position of power. Because, of course, we know what would happen if that happened, especially knowing what their goals are ultimately.
That's correct.
Do you want to restate those goals?
As far as I know, the Mormons would like to eventually control the world. They're part of the elitist group, the same
right.
group that Bill's been talking about for a long time.
Right. First they want to take over America and then
right.
take over the world.
That's right. And it's so easy for groups, any kind of groups, and that includes Ross Perot's group.
Right.
I'm also a member of that simply because I want to keep those people focused in the right direction. There are a lot of things that Ross Perot believes, not a lot of things, but some of the things that he believes in, for instance, like parliamentary form of government and a constitutional convention, those things are very bad for our country.
Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Very bad. But the point is that there are a lot of good, innocent people, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that have joined the Perot movement that are thirsting for knowledge.
There's also a lot of real good people who belong to the lower rungs of Freemasonry and the other secret societies and the Mormon Church who really don't know what they're involved in.
I agree with you 100%, Bill, but my point was the reason that I and a number of other John Birch Society members have joined in the Perot movement is so that we can keep these people focused in the right direction and educate them thoroughly as to what is happening, what really this whole thing is all about. And I find at the meetings that we have infiltrators, even in the Perot movement, that come in and try and sidetrack these large groups. And I mean, they are large. In little tiny cities, you have anywhere from 50 to 100 people that go to the meetings at least once a week. And the numbers are growing by 25 to 35 a month people
mm-hmm.
that are coming into the Perot organization. So you might want to think in terms of, you know, how you might reach out to that group, because it's a tremendous group and there's so much possibility there as far as being able to educate those people and keep them going in the right direction. But we had an infiltrator that came in and attempted to sidetrack the group off of NAFTA and get them involved in something totally irrelevant to what's going on right now, something that wouldn't even be on the agenda for the county until next year.
Yeah.
And so by having people there, like myself and like other people that are knowledgeable, we can keep those groups going in the right direction, and eventually we can educate one heck of a lot of people here.
That's right. You know, I'm going to make a prediction. I'll predict that the vote for NAFTA is going to be tied, and it's going to be broken by Al Gore, who will vote for, and it'll pass.
God, I hope not, Bill. I hope to God not.
I hope not, too. But you see, this will absolve the members of Congress of guilt. That's the way they're going to get around it.
Of course. And there are so many of them. I mean, look at Kennedy. He's saying he's against NAFTA. Is he going to change his mind at the last minute and vote for
it? Remember, all the ones who said that they were going to vote the other way in the last big controversial vote in Congress, and the tie was broken by a woman who had sworn to her constituents that she would never vote for it.
Right. Well, we have so many congressmen out here in California that are voting for NAFTA. It's incredible. We have out in my area, George Brown, and we have Alfred McCandless, and we have just so many of them. People need to be calling and writing letters every single day to their congressmen and telling them that if they vote for NAFTA, not just that you're going to vote against them, but that you are going to actively campaign against them next election.
Right. And then you got to carry it through because, you know, they get so many of those threats and then people never do it that they don't pay any attention anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true. Well, Bill, I really appreciate what you're doing, and God bless you. And I hope that you can stay on the air and keep going the direction that you're going because you, I think, are waking up a lot of people. There's so many people that don't know because they've never been exposed to the things that you're talking about. I don't know. Do you know of any other group besides the John Birch Society that has known about this stuff for years?
If you're talking about large group, no.
Yeah.
No.
See, they've got tremendous research facilities. They've got huge warehouses full. And by the way, in case you didn't know, you can call the John Birch Society back east and ask for the research department and any topic that you may want information on. If you are a member, which it doesn't cost you much to become a member, you can request that information and they will send it to you for free, everything that they have in the file on that topic.
Yeah. Well, I'd thank you for that bit of information, Carolyn.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, since you brought up the Constitutional Convention, that we need to work on getting our congressmen to rescind the vote of approval for a constitutional convention if you are in a state.
Yeah, in the states where it's already passed.
Right.
There's been a lot of states that it already has been rescinded in. We've been working very hard to make that happen, and we've also been successful in a number of states in preventing it from happening just before the vote.
Right. But that is so close to going through that it's something that we also have to keep an eye on. It seems like you have to keep an eye on so many fronts.
You heard what Perot said. He said, 5 states for constitutional convention, piece of cake.
Right. Right. I don't know. That man drives me crazy because I would love to believe that he's just naive. But I know.
No.
I would love to believe it, but I'm not dumb enough to believe it. It's too bad. It's too bad that we don't have a true patriot in him. However, that's okay. I mean, what he's doing is fine right now, and we can take over and educate the people from here.
That's true.
And let me tell you, what I'm getting from the Perot Group is they don't care whether he runs in the presidential election or not. They don't care if he drops out. They're not going to dismantle. They're going to keep going, and they will find a good person to run.
Good.
But they want to educate themselves between now and then so that they can make a wise choice.
Wonderful.
Buy shares in Gannett.
Oh, I already have.
Wonderful.
I already have. I should be getting the stuff in the mail here very shortly. What I had to do was sell off some other stuff, and that was the way I was able to come up with the money. So, okay.
Thank you for your call.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't go to sleep bed. Don't go to sleep bed. If I got on my knees, not to go, but to stay in my arms. Would you walk out the door like you did once before? Would this time be different? Would you stay? Don't go. Please stay. Don't go. If I call out your name, would you leave me alone with my kids, knowing I need your soul? Would you still turn and go with this time?
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, you started on with the Waco situation today, so I have a specific question. Did you listen to Linda Townsend on the Tom Allen show about a week ago?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. She was on, and she mentioned the a government report, which she observed that she observed a claim in the government report that they had used a non-flammable carrier to inject the
CS gas.
Yes. And she observed that they claimed that non-flammable gas was carbon monoxide. Have you communicated with her?
Oh, my God. Go ahead. I'm not laughing at you, sir.
I realize that. I called her and I got on the show that night, and I told her that, one, carbon monoxide is a flammable gas. It's probably explosive.
Yes.
And
and it's also a deadly poison.
Yeah. And I cautioned her that to make sure that this was nothing more than a typographical or an error on the part of the person writing the report. If the intention of the person writing the report was benign, that is simply technical incompetence, why then to take it as that. But there's a remote possibility that that might have been intentionally put in there to as a bit of government disinformation. That
mm-hmm.
if someone like her picked that up and made a big deal out of it, they could point to that and use it as a point of ridicule.
Sure.
And so I just wondered if you had heard anything about that, if she communicated with you on that or anything. Or if...
You have to remember that I just returned last night from San Francisco, I haven't spoken to anyone except for Carolyn and a fellow Kennedy researcher who we had about an hour's talk. But that's it.
Yeah. On the remote possibility of that there's something to that, we should be pointed out too that if they were wearing gas masks designed to filter out the particulate CF gas, and if they were using carbon monoxide, carbon monoxide would go right through those filters.
That's true. But that wouldn't account for the bullet holes and all of this other stuff that they claim that these people...
Anyway, I thought you should be aware of this situation. You probably have some CADGY members that can... Look with some technical competence to look into this and see if there is anything that might be sinister about it.
Let me tell you what we see. I've sat, and Carolyn can tell me days that I sit looking for about 12 hours each day at that tape over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And more. How many days did I do that?
More than three.
And I have examined this from every angle and other footage that we have. We've talked to witnesses. We had something like 48 CADGY people in Waco at the time, including Carolyn Nelson. And we can find no evidence that they even ejected any CS gas or tear gas into that building at any time.
Yeah, a long time ago, I remember you saying you were downwind of it and did not smell a thing.
Well, we did smell petroleum products.
Right,
we did not smell any tear gas.
So, it's a minor point I thought I'd bring to your attention in case you weren't aware of it, that it's just one more bit of information to
put
into all your into your database on this situation.
Well, we thank you very much. We were not aware that she had said that.
Okay, thank you.
Good night. And the number, folks, is 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I'm calling from Albuquerque. I'm really interested in this, the way you're pursuing the religious aspect and maybe the competition or whatever it may be between Quraysh and the people who persecuted. And I don't know if I was onto this because of something I heard you say, but having read Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and the sequel book to it.
It reeks of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the Priory of Sion, the heirs of David, and here's this upstart, you know.
Yeah, and the Koresh, and flying the Star of David above the building, and he's 33 years old, and it happened on Passover, and they burned him, which is a form of ritual sacrifice. This is taking on incredible dimensions here, and we're really not sure where it's all leading, but we've got our suspicions.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, I've studied the Bible on and off for years, and you know, I had some involvement with drugs and things way back in the 60s, and was into all the the I Ching and the tarot cards,
mm-hmm,
and studied astrology and all these other philosophies, and I got to tell you, Bill, that you put it together better than anybody I've ever seen or heard. It's really, I'm really impressed by the work you're doing, and I'm following it the best I can, and I'm going to buy some Gannett stock. And
wonderful, because that's the key. That really is the key.
That's a great idea. And God bless you, and I'll let you go and get on to some other callers.
Thank you for calling.
You bet.
Bye. Good night. The number is 602-333-2174. And don't forget, folks, when we're not on the air during the rest of the hours of the day and night, this is our fax number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Hey, glad to get on. I was wondering if you'd ever heard of a guy named Lee Bellinger?
Doesn't ring a bell.
You're familiar with him?
Doesn't ring a bell.
He used to work on Capitol Hill. I heard him tonight on a radio program out of New Mexico called Straight Talk with Ron Engelman. You ever hear that show?
I've heard Ron Engelman when he was in Dallas. I haven't heard him since he's been in Albuquerque, although we could probably pick it up if we knew what time his show was on.
It's on at 9 o'clock on KKOB.
Okay.
Out in New Mexico. Lee Bellinger is the editor and publisher of The Pink Sheet on the Left. You ever hear that?
All this left-right means nothing to me, but go ahead.
Well, anyhow, it used to be called the American Sentinel, and
that I'm familiar with. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was getting into tonight just before your show, and that's about the first 15 minutes or so of your show, because I was listening to him, but he was right on the money with the new national Help ID card.
Uh-huh.
And he sounded really promising. I'm thinking about, I got his phone number and stuff, I'm thinking about giving him a call and trying to get him on to buying some shares of stock.
Good. Get everybody. Get everybody involved. Everybody you know, every organization you belong to. Go down to the old folks' home and get them involved. Everybody.
Yeah, well, I figure he could put that on his, you know, on his little publication and maybe help spread the word.
Yeah. And folks, I wasn't kidding. Don't forget those old folks out there. They want to be part of what's happening in the world, and I can't think of a better way.
Okay, well, that's basically all I had for you.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Bye.
For the next caller or the next couple of callers, I want to hear, what'd you think of this tape we played tonight? I mean, that just bowled me over when I originally heard it, and then it took a while to get our hands on the copy. But good evening. What'd you think of what you heard tonight?
Well, that was pretty interesting. And you're sure that Starlene Riddle is the same as Rita Riddle?
Yes, that's her name.
Okay.
In fact, we can go back and play the original interview we did with her on the Hour of the Time, and that's her name.
Okay. Hey, that was pretty interesting. My question was, Ken Fawcett talked about they were transmitting Morse code by flashlight from Mount Carmel during
yeah.
the siege.
Uh-huh.
Any transcripts of what they were transmitting?
Nancy LaRosa said that she and, I forgot the guy that was with her, had deciphered that Morse code, but other people said that they hadn't, and so I don't really know.
Well, Ken Fawcett said he deciphered it and thought it was kind of crazy, and then Rita Riddle said that they were just test messages. What is the fortune exactly?
Well, what you heard tonight, Rita Riddle wasn't even in there.
Exactly.
And Ken Fawcett is in bed with her. Now, what are you going to believe?
Well, I would really like to try to get a hold of the transcript of what they were transmitting from inside.
Well, I would, too, if we could get somebody we could believe to give us one. We did some research from Nancy LaRosa and found out that she was living in a house that was paid for by the government.
Well, I appreciate your show. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks a lot. Good night.
Bye.
You know, I just don't know what to say about all this stuff and all these people. It's just like everywhere we turn, somebody is running us around the flagpole. And, you know, the only thing that makes any sense when I look at all this, folks, is somebody is trying to stir us into taking up arms so that they can destroy us. That's just what it looks like to me. I can't reach any other conclusion. No other conclusion makes any sense. What do you think? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
My maiden name is Cooper.
Well, that's a good name, good, honest name.
I was wondering if you have happen to know of anyone who has a copy of the radio broadcast that he did in Waco, or if you know of any way of getting it?
That who did in Waco?
Gosh, I can't think of his name.
Ron Engelman?
No.
Ken Fawcett?
No, it escapes my memory. The guy that got killed. In
David Koresh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't he on radio?
Yeah, he was.
Does anyone have a copy of that?
In fact, he was on radio with our sponsor, Craig Smith, the owner of Swiss America Trading, has a radio show where he talks about investments and precious metals, and Koresh used to listen to his show, and it was Craig Smith who Koresh wanted to go on his show, and that's whose show he was on. Yeah, we have the tapes.
I'd like to hear it, because I'd kind of like to hear what he had to say.
Maybe we can look into it.
Yeah, I'll talk to Craig and see if we can do that.
And also, I was going to tell you, I actually heard him on national television when he said that he was a son of God. He never said he was the son of God. He said he was a son of God.
Yeah, well, that's all. Everybody says that.
Good.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And you get into the new age and the new upcoming religion and Freemasonry and all those things, and they'll tell you that they are God.
Oh, I wanted to ask you another question, too. I'm finding out that a lot of members of the church that I have been going to, had been going to, are Masons. And I'm wondering how they can be Masons and be, quote-unquote, Pentecostal.
Well, they can't be, you see. So they're just Trojan horses in your organization. You'll find your organization beginning to become universalists. You'll start to see them begin to adopt some of the ways of the Catholic Church. You'll see them dropping the dogma that they have traditionally had that separates them from other religions. And you'll see a coming together of all the religions into this new one where man is going to become God.
I didn't realize that these people were Masons until they died, and in their obituary, stated that they were Masons.
Yeah, they don't go around telling people.
Yeah, it was a real kind of a shocker to me, and I said, now we know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm a first-time caller, and I actually haven't listened to your program too much. Glad to hear you.
By GCI.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
602-333-2174 is the number. And you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
Did I hear you correctly last night say that you have...
Turn off your radio.
Say again?
Turn off your radio.
Gotcha. Did I hear you say last night you have 173,000 voting shares in hand already?
We had that. I don't have the shares. Nobody's giving me their shares. I have the proxy votes, yes.
Okay, great. Can you use 20 more?
Absolutely.
Done. As of Monday.
Wonderful.
Count right in there. Secondary.
Actually, we have more than that. I haven't counted the ones we've received in the mail while I was gone yet.
Right. Secondary topic. NAFTA. New acronym. LAFTA with an L. The Lose America Fools Trade Agreement. If you knew nothing else about this, when that grinning goon, Leia Cuckoo, stood on the TV last Sunday and pitched NAFTA, that's all you needed to know. Mr. Buyout? Mr. Sell America Down the Road to Save Chrysler?
Sure.
How much more do we need to know?
The marriage between the corporation and the state. That is national socialism.
My metaphor for this is, and have you ever done any woodwork, Bill?
Just a little, not a whole lot. I'd like to do a lot more, but I'm just a klutz with tools.
Okay, this won't be too tough. When you sand something down, you smooth out the irregularities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the irregularities are the high spots. No one has ever sanded a board and brought the low spots up. The high spots go down.
Yep.
America's a high spot.
Yep. You're right.
They go down.
Yeah.
You don't level the playing field without taking the high spots out.
You're right.
Yeah. That's what America needs to know. Take this to its simplest common denominator. Those who have will give to those who don't have. But nobody will see any improvement. Mexico won't be any better off. America won't be any better off. Canada was smart enough to vote in a Republican government that said, we're not having any part of this. We might have free trade with America, but Mexico? Hello, wake up. We don't want you. We can't change their culture simply because We're Americans. Mm-hmm. They'll change our culture and change it damn fast.
Yep.
That's pretty much all I had to say tonight.
Well,
I wanted to get it in there. I don't know.
Said a mouthful, and it's all right on the money.
Okay, well, fair enough. And here's for Gannett. Let's get it done. Let's get the word out there. And let's get idiots like Rush Limbaugh off the air and get the truth on the air. Wake up, America, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He used to have a compass and square behind him on his in his bookcase on his radio show until I guess somebody pointed out that they understood what it meant. And disappeared. So thanks for calling. And ladies and gentlemen out there, good night. God bless you all. And Rita, what have you got to say about all this?
I want to tell all of you that ain't doing nothing for me and can't do nothing for me, you should do to your business and leave mine alone. Because as far as this man is concerned, I want to tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to call Gene Miller at Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646, and buy GCI. Empower America. Empower yourselves. Buy GCI and do it now.